It's the morning show, 88.5, Jazz 88. I'm Peter Solomon, and joining me today is clarinetist Tony Bailiff, who plays in a number of different groups. He specializes in playing traditional jazz. I had the pleasure of watching him with Dr. Henry Blackburn in our recent Minnesota Jazz Legends program at the Minnesota History Center. Tony, who leads the Southside Aces, will be appearing in our next Jazz Eclectic performance. It's happening Saturday, May 18th at 12:45 outside the Guthrie Theater, and he's got some other exciting things planned as well, which we will talk about. Tony, welcome.
Hi.
I want to learn a little bit about you. First of all, can you tell me about where you're from originally and how you came to love traditional jazz?
I'm born and raised in South Minneapolis. I've been a Minneapolis person my whole life. I've played clarinet since I was 8 years old, and I didn't really learn about jazz until I was 11.
What was it when you were 11 years old that kind of made you aware of jazz?
Well, I asked my clarinet teacher, are there clarinets in jazz? You know, because the typical image is saxophones and in terms of reed instruments. And he said yes, and he started to teach me about Benny Goodman. And then I said, well, what about around here? And he said, well, why don't you see if your parents will take you out to the Emporium of Jazz in Mendota. And the Emporium of Jazz was a club for 25 years from about 66 to 1990. And it had the Hall Brothers Jazz Band and a young Butch Thompson on clarinet. So when I was 11, I finally begged them long enough and bugged them enough, and they took me out there, and I got to see them, and that was kind of it for me.
So did you get a chance to hang out with Butch Thompson and study with him, or what was your...
Not then. It wasn't until 20 years later, or there, you know, when I was about 30, and I had been playing again, just trying to play some jazz. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then I met those guys. I met the members. They were playing under the name of the Bill Evans New Orleans Jazz Band. And Bill Evans was the bass player for the Hall Brothers Jazz Band. And then he was also a trombonist. So I met them then, and they all took me under their wings. It's just incredible generosity that has led to me being a traditional jazz clarinetist.
So obviously you've dug much deeper than just Benny Goodman. And Benny Goodman, as great as he was, I know that he was inspired in part by the folks that he heard around Chicago, particularly Jimmy Noone.
Yes,
so
for sure.
Can you talk about the players that inspire you, and then we could talk about what you're doing with respect to Jimmy Noone?
Yes, I was taught Charlie DeVore, Bill Evans, all of those guys from the Hall Brothers Jazz Band up here. If you go into a record store and you try to buy jazz and you ask about jazz clarinet, typically it is people like Pete Fountain or Benny Goodman. But like you say, Benny Goodman was completely inspired by Jimmy Noone, who was a New Orleans-born clarinetist, but he had a residency in Chicago in the mid-20s. And he was just an amazing clarinetist that nobody could believe. Eddie Condon, the great, you know, banjo and band leader, he said, we used to go to the Nest after hours to watch Jimmy Noone, and this is in 1926, do things with a clarinet that nobody thought was probable. And it's true. Those, you listen to those records and you're not even maybe left. You're just so inspired. It's breathtaking what they do.
Thank you. So I know that some of his recordings also featured Earl Hines on piano, and this was around the same time that Louis Armstrong and Earl Hines were recording together. So they were at a place called the Apex Club in the late 1920s. And so I know that one of the famous tunes he did was Sweet Lorraine, and then there was I Know That You Know. Can you talk about maybe one or two of your favorite records that he made?
Oh, for sure. First, I just have to say this quote. Eddie Condon also said it was in the spring of 1926, and within 100 feet at the Sunset Cafe was Louis Armstrong playing, and King Oliver was playing in another club, and Jimmy Noon was leading his band at the Apex Club. And Eddie Condon said you could, around midnight, hold an instrument in the street and the air would play jazz music. And Jimmy Noon, you mentioned two of my favorites. Sweet Lorraine was his theme song, and it actually was what inspired Nat King Cole to make a hit out of that song, Sweet Lorraine. I Know That You Know, I consider it, you know how maybe a trumpet player thinks, if I can accomplish West End blues once in my life, that's sort of the Mount Everest of a trumpet song. I think of I Know That You Know as the Mount Everest of clarinet songs. A lot of other clarinets tried to record it. I've been attempting to play it for years, and like I once joked to my mentor, I think I'm more at around Jimmy 11 o'clock instead of Jimmy Noon right now. And so I'm going to still be trying to get up there.
So you have a band called High Noon?
Well, that's brand new. In fact, it's still in the theoretical. It hasn't appeared in public, and it won't appear in public until there's an early jazz festival that for the last 3 years I've been organizing. It's called Jazz Age Rumpus, and we've been holding it at the Hook and Ladder Theater. We'll be doing that again this year on May 19th. And there'll be three bands. The Southside Aces will be doing some King Oliver. Miss Myra and the Moonshiners are going to be kind of doing the later thing of Harlem Hamfats. Harlem Hamfats was a band that was put together in 1936 in Chicago, even though they're called Harlem Hamfats. It was a Chicago band, and it was put together by a producer really just to make party records, jazz party records. It was kind of, we sort of joke that it was the first boy band put together, you know, you know, where a producer puts together a band just to make money off of some party records. But they would back up a lot of the R&B and blues singers of the time, including a person named Rosetta Howard. And they're just great, fun records. I mean, they're not, you know, not usually the most stellar of musicians, but just, I would have loved to have seen that band. And so that's what Miss Myra and the Moonshiners, with Myra Burnett, are taking on them. And then High Noon is a band I've put together just for this festival to tackle the music of Jimmy Noon. And so we're doing a whole set of Jimmy Noon. Jimmy Noon, one of the unique things about him is when he led his Apex Club orchestra, is that it was a small band, you know, five or six players, depending on the era, and there was no brass in it. It was rhythm section, and then Joe Poston on alto sax and himself on clarinet, and it has this really light swinging sound. And so I've always wanted to do that, and so now I get my chance.
That's awesome. So talk to me a little bit about the Southside Aces. You're appearing in the next Jazz Eclectic concert, as I referenced before. This is happening the day before the Jazz Rumpus on May 18th outside the Guthrie Theater. And you guys have been together for some 20 years now. And I know that it's been a partnership with tuba player Eric Jacobson, who also leads Mama Digdown's brass band. But can you talk about how that group formed and the music that you play in that band?
Sure. I was working in a warehouse, and one of my coworkers was a rock drummer. And he had been to a party where he met this guy. He said, "Yeah, Tony, I met this guy. He says he plays sousaphone." And we were talking, and he said he wants to form what he called it a New Orleans dance hall band. And I said, "Yeah." and he got his number. And so we just I ended up calling Eric Jacobson, and we found out we just both had this need to form a band that was like that, more or less along the lines of what we would associate with a Preservation Hall style band, these days.
Now, can you talk a little bit about this dance hall music? So I used to have a Samuel Charters collection on Folkways Records, and he had gone around New Orleans recording a lot of this so-called dance hall music. And in a way, it reminds me of old-time music, because it seems like it's not so much focusing on the arrangements or the soloists. It's more about the ensemble. Is that the right idea? Or how do you kind of describe dance hall?
So the lineup of our band is clarinet, trumpet, trombone, and we have a rhythm section. In our band, we use sousaphone. A lot of bands use either sousaphone or string bass. And then you have guitar and drums, or often banjo and drums, or sometimes piano. And so this stuff was really a functional kind of music. It really was meant to propel people around these dance halls in New Orleans. It was playing the jazz of the day, but it was also playing all the different music of the day, but just with that formation. So you have a lot of the songs that are in the New Orleans jazz canon are songs that were first country hits, or because people would come up to the bandstand and it's 1950 and Hank Williams is having hits on the radio, and hey, can you play Jambalaya on the Bayou? That's a big hit right now. And the band would go, "Yes." The famous story of Kid Thomas Valentine, the trumpet player, he would send people down to his trombonist, who just had a great, perfect pitch, and he would say, "Just sing it to my trombonist." And they'd sing it to his trombonist, Lewis Nelson, and Lewis Nelson would just start playing the melody, and the whole band would just fall in behind him, and they'd be playing this hit that was a hit right in that moment. And then the next Monday, Kid Thomas would go down to the music store in New Orleans and get the sheet music so they could officially put it in their repertoire. And so it was just all meant to play music that people could dance to and party to.
Does that music remain vital to this day?
Yes. We still play Hank Williams tunes, but we also take that philosophy to heart, and we played many 21st century pop hits in our repertoire. I like to say we play 100 years of jazz, because we play all the stuff from the 19-teens, and we play all the way up to today, including originals. We feel like it's a vital form, that it's not just playing the stuff that happened before, that it's an actual vital way of presenting and playing music in the world.
So is there anything else that you'd like to address before I let you go with respect to either your upcoming performance at Jazz Eclectic or the Jazz Rumpus?
Well, Jazz Eclectic's going to be great fun, because we'll be able to play the whole range of stuff from the 20s through Fats Domino to today, to our originals. But the Jazz Age Rumpus is this whole day dedicated to early jazz, 20s and 30s jazz, and I'm really proud of it. And it's just, if you really want to hear that music, I urge you to check it out.
Thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate you coming out.
All right. Thank you.